Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're in the time of Epiphany, and Epiphany means manifestation. It means revelation, or in the parlance of today, it means aha, the light bulbs start going off. We have epiphanies sometimes daily. We have minor epiphanies. We have major epiphanies. Those of you who have ever been in love know the major epiphany of, this is the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. Some of that is joyful. Some of that is terrifying. We all have epiphanies. And these epiphanies are opportunities to change, to develop. They're wonderful gifts, but they're also very frightening. I want to talk to you about some epiphanies. The prophet Isaiah had an epiphany. In his time, his land was covered with deep darkness. And he talks about the day that God is going to shine his light on his people, bring his people home, and their fortunes will change. And he tells people to rise and shine. And in that scripture verse, he tells them that you're going to see all this, you're going to be radiant, and in what Liz read today, it says, your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Well, I had an epiphany because I went to the original Hebrew text and saw what was actually written, and it wasn't your heart shall thrill and rejoice, it's your heart shall be startled and enlarged. In other words, you're going to be really surprised, and God's going to break open a place in you so that you can receive new things and wonderful things. I like that interpretation, don't you? Your heart shall be startled and enlarged. So when I look at the very familiar story of the wise men, I look at it with that lens. You know the story. The sages come from the east and they're coming to pay homage. They're not coming to pay homage to a Messiah. They had no idea. They just knew that studying the stars, that a new prince was born. And so they were on a diplomatic mission. They were going to go over to Jerusalem, and they were pretty sure that Herod, being an old man, probably had an heir apparent, and they were going in diplomacy and in friendship to pay homage to this newborn king. So they go to Herod's palace, fully expecting that a little prince has been born. What they couldn't know is that Herod, because he was so paranoid and evil, that he killed members of his own family so that that wouldn't happen. Herod had a great epiphany because what he knew was that this was not an ordinary child whom the wise men sought, that this was the very Messiah himself. Now, you would have thought that that would have brought joy to Herod, that he could have seen beyond his own needs to the needs of his people. But Herod is a picture of people who destroy their future in order to secure their present. And that's exactly what Herod did. He tried to destroy the new life because he wanted to secure the present, maybe thinking he was going to live forever. So often, when we get a word from God, when we have our own epiphanies, it can be so frightening that we can do things to destroy the very future God has for us. But I think the most pathetic people in this story was not Herod, but those religious leaders. Now, they had to know why Herod was inquiring about the Messiah, because the Bible says all Jerusalem was troubled because they all knew how crazy Herod was. And so he says to them, where is the Messiah to be born? And they look up in their holy book and they say, well, it says here Bethlehem. And then he thanked them and they went right back home. Nobody went on the field trip with the wise men. How sad is that? Because they were so frightened of the epiphany They wanted to retain the status quo. And sometimes that's the worst thing we can ever do. When God's light shines, when we know that God has asked us to be his people, and because we love the status quo and it's safe, we decide that we just rather ignore the epiphany of God. One of the challenges of raising our children in this day and age is that we want to instill in them a sense of wonder. We want to instill in them the understanding that they cannot know everything, that there is some mystery of life, and that they need to break open a part of themselves to allow God's spirit, to allow God's grace to come into their lives. And this is why we bring them for baptism. We bring them not so that we can say, well, we've taken them, we've done our duty, and now we go home and we live our lives, but to say you're living in the light of God. And when deep darkness descends on your life, which it does to every human being, there are times of deep darkness. There's times of political deep darkness. There's times of the deep darkness of the soul. And we equip our children to have the love and grace of God so that when that happens, their hearts will be startled and enlarged, and they can live life in the light of God. This is our faith. This is the love that God gives to us. Imagine for a moment if on that caravan of sages, Herod and the religious people had joined in. What would have been different about that trip? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the minor and major epiphanies we have in life. And we ask, O Lord, that you would give us that grace so that we might be surprised by you and our hearts broke open with possibility and joy. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.